This is the second side of the lecture on the prophetic future of Iraq. Now, I want you to notice this point very carefully here in this Jeremiah 25, verses 11 and 12. It says that after a 70-year period in which Judah and the other nations round about would be in desolation, then God would cause Babylon to be judged, and it would then suffer perpetual desolations. Or at least it looks that way on the surface. It says after a 70-year period from this time. Most people reading this prophecy of Daniel then would say, well, Babylon is going to be a major power that's going to exist for 70 years, and then it's going to be wiped off the surface of the earth. The only thing is, Babylon was powerful at the time that Jeremiah said this. And after 70 years, Babylon as a city was not destroyed at all in the way that it seemed like it should have been. In fact, it wasn't destroyed 200 years later, 300 years later. It finally went into decay about 500, 600, 700 years later. And do you know the prophecies about the perpetual desolations of this Babylon never took place? And in fact, it is actually going to be built up at the end of the age. Now, does this mean that the prophecy here of Jeremiah is mistaken? Well, not at all. It says after a 70-year period, some period in the future from this time, Babylon is going to be judged and it's going to go into perpetual desolation. This is one of the scriptures right here that gives people the first problem, you might say, in trying to understand what the judgments were to be and when they would be upon the city of Babylon and upon the civilization of Babylon. It says after 70 years. But if you go on here, it says, like for example, in verse 15, here is what God said to Jeremiah. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. And then I took the cup at the Lord's hand, and I made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord hath sent me. And I want you to notice where he starts. To whom does Jeremiah go first? It says, to wit, verse 18, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah. That's the first one. He told them to drink of this cup of indignation, and that they were going to be destroyed. Then it says, I'm going to make them a desolation, an astonishment, and a hissing and a curse, as it is this day. Now that is when the editor of the book of Jeremiah, who was Ezra at the time, about 100 and some odd years after Jeremiah, was saying, just look around you and you'll see that this prophecy has come to pass. But Jeremiah wasn't sent just to the kings of Judah and to Jerusalem. In verse 19 it says, go also to Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Verse 20, to the mingled people. That means to the Arabs or Arabs, which means mingled people in the Hebrew. All the kings of the land of Uz, the kings of the Philistines, the Ashkelon, Aza, Ekron, the remnant of Ashdod. These were cities down on the southwestern portion of Israel or Judah. Then going on, Edom, Moab, and Ammon on the other side of the River Jordan. The kings of Tyre and Sidon and the isles beyond the sea, which reaches way out into Carthage in North Africa. Dedan, Tema, and Buz, and all those that are in the utmost corner, that goes into Saudi Arabia. All the kings of Arabia going even north into the Kuwait region and southern Mesopotamia. All the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the desert. All the kings of Zimri. All the kings of Elam. All the kings of the Medes. Elam and Medes, they were the ones who lived in the country of Iran that we know of today, east of the Tigris River. But it didn't stop there. He says, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world that are upon the face of the earth. Now notice the end part of verse 26. And the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Now here was the cup of the wine of indignation that Jeremiah was given. And he said, God said, you take it to Jerusalem first. Then you take it to the nations near to Jerusalem, the Philistines and others. Then you take it to the Moabites and the Ammonites and to the Edomites, not very far away. Then you take it a little farther and farther and farther. And then he finally says, you're going to take it to every nation on earth. And it means that every one of them is going to drink of this wine of fury, of indignation from me. And the last one to drink of it will be this Shishak. Shishak. Now, how many of you in studying history have seen a king by the name of Shishak spelt in this fashion? There is none in history. In actual fact, though, when Jeremiah wrote this, he wrote this as a cipher. And people in his time, at least when he explained it to them, they were able to comprehend what he was talking about. You see, if you take the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, beginning with Aleph and Bet and Gimel and Dalet and on down to Tau, you take them all in order. Well, what if you put them down, and what you do is to, instead of going forward like our A, B, C, X, Y, Z, you start backwards, Z, Y, X, and things like that, and come backwards? If you do that, you will find that the letters, if you go forward, that represents B, B, L, that is Babel. If you come backwards through the alphabet, it comes to she, she, ka in the pronunciation. That means Shishak, Shishak. It's a cipher that was used by Jeremiah to indicate Babylon at the end of the age. But Babylon, which would not have the name Babylon on it, so to speak, but it would be mystery Babylon. Babylon in the form of a cipher. This Shishak would be the last to drink the wine of indignation. Now, if you will look at the prophecy, it says that after 70 years, after the giving of this prophecy, is when Babylon, or Shishak, would drink of the wine of the fury of God and go into perpetual desolation. At least that's the way it looks on the surface. But you know something? God did not tell Jeremiah that precisely at the end of 70 years it would take place. He says after 70 years were up, sometime in the future, the last one to drink of the wine of the fury of God would be this mystery Babylon, this Shishak, who would be Babylon, all right, but Babylon interpreted differently. Sometime in the future. Now, when Daniel, a little later on, was trying to interpret what Jeremiah meant, and he was coming to the end of the 70-year period, and he wondered himself whether or not the 70 years meant 70 literal years, and then Babylon would be perpetually destroyed. And he was wondering if that was to be the case. But go to chapter 9 of Daniel, and it says here, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year, now Babylon, you see, of the house of Nebuchadnezzar had ceased to exist. By this time, Cyrus had come on the scene and had entered Babylon, did not destroy the city at all, taken over the government. After that, his son Cambyses came on the scene and ruled for a few years. And now we come to this time of Darius. And here is Daniel saying, well, Babylon, supposedly, as far as the kingdom is concerned, is no longer with us. We're now under the Persian realm. Now, when is the 70 years going to be up, and when is the perpetual desolations of Babylon to take place, as the prophecies of Jeremiah said? So it says, in the first year, in the reign, I, Daniel, verse 2, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. That's right. That's the prophecy we were talking about back there in the 25th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. But also at the end of that 70 years, when Jerusalem would finally see its complete judgment, Babylon was also to be judged, apparently, and go into perpetual desolations. But Daniel could look around him, and Babylon wasn't in perpetual desolations. Indeed, it was powerful and strong, and even the Persian kings had their winter capital there. It was just going as strong as anything. And so Daniel was scratching his head. Well, what do you mean about these 70 years then? He wanted to know what God was actually talking about, because the 70 years were coming and going, and we find that the city of Babylon was not going into perpetual desolations. So what happens was that Daniel then, he's wondering what in the world is going on. So he set his face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And he wanted to know how to interpret the prophecy correctly. Well, Daniel finally was given a message from Gabriel on how to interpret that prophecy correctly. Because it goes on down to verse 21 that he sees Gabriel once more, and he has a vision, and then Gabriel then gives him an interpretation of how to understand the 70 years of Jeremiah, and how at the end of the 70 years, Babylon would go into perpetual desolation. What it shows here, it wasn't to be 70 literal years, but as it goes on to say in verse 24, 70 weeks, and it means 70 weeks of years, are determined upon your people, upon the holy city, to finish transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, 70 weeks of years. Daniel then was given a reinterpretation of those 70 years as far as the Messiah and the people of Judah were concerned, and the establishment of everlasting righteousness on this earth. This 70 weeks of years was to stretch out to 490 years from the time of the going forth of a command to rebuild the city of Jerusalem until all of these events would be fulfilled. A 490-year period would be in existence. Now, that's considerably more, you see, than the 70 years that was mentioned back there in the 25th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Now we have some extended prophecy coming on the scene by Daniel. But even this 70 weeks prophecy is most interesting because it's divided into four sections. And this is interesting. In fact, in the Hebrew, it says that the prophecy is cut up or cut out. Cut out of history into four divisions. One division was to be for a period of 7 weeks, and then another period would be 62 weeks. Put them together and you get 483 years. And then a period of 7 years, which would exist at the end time, but this 7 years would be divided in half to be 3.5 years on one side and 3.5 years on the other side. Now, the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation in the New Testament is here speaking about end times, and the book of Revelation in particular talks about this last week of Daniel's 490 years, or the last week, the last 7 years of this prophecy, which was divided in half. And the book of Revelation, you will recall this, also in the book of Daniel, about a time, times, plural, and half a time, meaning one time, which is a year of 360 days, ideally, that's what it would be. And then times, two times, means 720 days. And then half a time would be half a year, 180 days. You add them all together, you get 1,260 days, or you get 42 months. But 42 months equals 3.5 years. And 3.5 years plus 3.5 years equals 7 years. And the 7 years is the 70th year, seventh week, I should say, of this Daniel's 490-year prophecy here. And that was to stretch out until the very end, when righteousness and the kingdom of God would come on the earth. In other words, there's a 490-year period from the beginning of this prophecy here, which would start with the giving of a command to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, and it would go 490 years. Now, most people would have imagined that the 490 years were all successive to one another. But as I said before, the Hebrew doesn't say that even then. It says that these periods are cut out of time. And it means that the first 49 years was one segment, and then followed by 434 years was another segment. Add those two together, and you get 483 years. And then the last 7 years, which would be at the end of the age, was cut in half, 3.5 years on one side, 3.5 years on the other. And then you'd have the completion of the 490 years leading up to the kingdom of God on this earth. Now, it sounds rather complicated, doesn't it? Yes, it does. But we have God telling us here how to interpret how long it would be until Babylon would be destroyed and come under perpetual desolation. Daniel was told that the kingdom of Babylon and the kingdom of Persia and the kingdom of Greece. Though they were destroyed back there in the 6th century B.C., that is, outwardly they were, that is, Babylon was, and then in the 4th century, we find Persia destroyed by the Macedonians, Alexander the Great coming along, and then after Alexander, well, the Grecian Empire went by the wayside as well, and then, but these kingdoms back there were to retain their power and authority subliminally until the end of the age, when this last 7-year period would exist that Daniel talked about in the 70 weeks prophecy. This is most important for us to understand, because if you look at chapter 8 of Daniel, you will find here something which is, I said 8, I meant 7, chapter 7 of Daniel, you will find that this image that was seen in the second chapter of Daniel, of the head of gold, the silver portion, which was of the breast, and then finally of the copper, which near the midriff area, and then finally the iron, the legs, and then the toes, and would be the iron mixed with clay and all of that. This whole image is described again here in different terms in the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel. And it says Daniel was able to see a great beast come out of the great sea, and in fact he saw 4 beasts. Verse 3, and they came up from the sea, diverse from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And that turns out to be Babylon when you really understand it. Verse 5, the next was like a bear, and this was Persia, Medo-Persia. And then finally in verse 6, a leopard, and that turned out to be the Grecian Empire of Alexander the Great. And then in verse 7, he sees this nondescript beast, exceedingly powerful and strong, and it was like iron, which finally is going to develop into 10 toes, or 10 kings, which answers to the 10 toes of the image that Daniel saw or interpreted back there in the second chapter of Daniel. And these 10 kings would be under the leadership of one little horn, who would be the Antichrist and the beast, as we call him in the book of Revelation, who would stand up against Christ, Jesus, and that Christ would put down, and then the kingdom of God would come on the earth. Now, the interesting thing about these first 3 beasts, though, the lion, the bear, and the leopard, which answers to Babylon, to Persia, and to Greece, it says in verse 11, that I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, this little horn, the beast himself, I beheld until the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. And as concerning the rest of the beast, that means the lion, the bear, and the leopard, that is Babylon, Persia, and Greece. Now notice, as concerning the rest of those beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. They're going to be prolonged even after they were destroyed back there in the 6th, 4th, and 3rd centuries B.C. They were going to continue on. In fact, in a second part of this prophecy, it says in verse 17 of chapter 7, these great beasts, starting with the lion, the bear, and the leopard, these great beasts, and then finally, of course, the nondescript beast, making 4, these 4 beasts are 4 kings or kingdoms which shall arise out of the earth. At the end of the age, when you get all of these prophecies together, this means that Babylon, along with Persia, and along with Greece, and along with this nondescript beast of iron, are going to be in existence at the end of the age. Though their dominions anciently were taken away, they are going to come forth at the end of the age, and right there at the head of all of them will be Babylon, succeeded by Persia, and succeeded by Greece. It means this. Right here in Daniel chapter 7, if you will look at it carefully, there is going to be a Babylon at the end of the age. And it is here in Daniel chapter 7. There's also going to be a Persia. And by the way, Persia is Iran. And there's also going to be the area of Greece. And when it says Greece, it means Javan. And it doesn't mean just the Greek archipelago over there at the present time, or the peninsula, but it has to do with the western part of Asia Minor as well. and Macedonia going up into Europe. That region of influence there is going to come up in power and authority at the end of the age, along with Babylon and along with Persia. And they are going to be in existence. In fact, they are going to be in existence of the when the time of the ten toes, led by a little horn, is going to be here to bring in the beast power or the anti-Christian kingdom just prior to the second coming of Christ. You see, Babylon is still going to be around. The perpetual desolations of Babylon have not yet taken place the way that the prophecy said they would be. Now, if you want to see some of those prophecies about Babylon and how perpetual desolations are going to be brought to pass, go back to the 13th chapter of the book of Isaiah, written in the 8th century before Christ. And it speaks about Babylon finally going into desolations. But the desolations didn't happen in the 6th century B.C. when the Persians took over under Cyrus. They didn't take place even when Alexander the Great came on the scene. Babylon was still there. They didn't take place until much later. In fact, they never have taken place. That's the point. Babylon went into a state of internal decay about the time of Christ. And about the time of the 2nd century A.D., there were just a few little remnants of Babylon left over there and a few priests of the ancient Chaldeans still around the region. But as far for all practical purposes, Babylon had practically ceased to exist. But all of the prophecies concerning the destruction of Babylon had never, ever taken place. And all you have to do is to read them here in Isaiah 13. Here's what it says. Let's go over there in verse 6 of Isaiah 13. Howl you, for the day of the Lord is at hand. This context here about Babylon, and by the way, this prophecy in chapter 13 is the burden of Babylon. It's about Babylon. It's about the Babylon when the day of the Lord will come on the scene. The term the day of the Lord is a descriptive phrase of that generation just prior to the second coming of Christ back to this earth, or shall we say, the time when the kingdom of God would emerge on this earth. That is the period we're coming into at the present time. Verse 6 of chapter 13, howl you, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. It says in verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Now, this is talking about the land of Babylon. The stars of heaven, the constellations thereof, shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. This is in the book of Revelation, dealing with the end of the age, too. I will punish the world for their iniquity, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even as a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of the hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Now, this is talking about the whole earth, but it's centered primarily upon Babylon. Notice what is going to happen to Babylon when this time comes, when this prophecy takes place. It has never happened in history, but is soon to come on the earth at the end of the age when the ten toes come up, when the man of sin, the little horn, is able to control the ten nations, which will exist in the Middle East. And Babylon is going to be right there. Babylon is still going to be around, according to the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel. And here it is in verse 17. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, that is the Babylonians. Now the Medes are a part of the Iranians today, and they live east of the Mesopotamian region. I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows shall they dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. Now notice what is going to happen here to Babylon. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah were completely and perpetually desolated. This is talking about the time in the future, the day of the Lord, when the Medes are going to do this to Babylon. It has never happened in history, but it's going to happen just in the generation or so ahead of us. It says, it shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. And how surprised I was when I went to Babylon in 1970. I went there on two different occasions, and I found Arabs pitching their tents in the city of Babylon to this very day. Not only that, a contingent of the Iraqi army, which I saw with my own eyes and took photographs of, were actually bivouacking right in the midst of the ruins of ancient Babylon. Now, it says in this prophecy here that the Arabian will never pitch tent in Babylon after the destruction of this city. But you see, this prophecy here has never yet taken place. It's going to take place in the day of the Lord. It's going to take place just before the emergence of the kingdom of God on this earth. The fact is, these prophecies have never yet happened. It goes on to say, afterward, that the wild beasts of the desert shall lie there. Their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. It means evil beasts shall be in the area of Babylon. Well, I went to Babylon, and there's a small village there at the present time. It's quite pleasant to be there. And you know, at the present, it's known as a national park area, and Saddam Hussein, up until the time of his invasion of Kuwait, had been building up Babylon and restoring it and trying to bring back the seven mountains, the seven gardens and all of that of ancient Babylon, the hanging gardens of Babylon, and trying to build it back up. That is still going to occur no matter what happens to Saddam Hussein. It's in the psyche of the people of Iraq to bring these things to pass. And it's in the Bible that Babylon is going to be built back up, but also to be destroyed at the end of the age, at our time that we're coming into now. But they're not wild beasts of the desert living there at the present time. It's quite a pleasant place to be. In fact, on the Fridays, because there are Muslims over there in that area, when I was there anyway, people from Hila, which were south about 15 miles, would get in their cars and come out to Babylon to picnic because it was so pleasant to be there on the Euphrates River in the ancient ruins of Babylon. And while I was there, I was able to go around and pick up some stones, ancient bricks and things like that, some of them half burnt, some of them not. And I found with my own hands stones, bricks that had incised on them in cuneiform in letters or wedge type letters, if you want to call them that, the name of Nebuchadnezzar himself, and I have these to this very day. Yes, you can find them all around Babylon. It's very pleasant to be in that region, though the area is in ruins. It was never destroyed, however, the way that it says here in Isaiah 13 it's going to be destroyed. Verse 22, and the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. That means for judgment. Now, it's the Medes that are going to do this. It was not the Medes who destroyed Babylon back there in the time of King Cyrus. Cyrus had Median blood in him, that's true. But it was the Persians primarily that took over Babylon, and they did not destroy Babylon in this fashion at all, not in the 6th century B.C. It wasn't destroyed in the 4th. It wasn't destroyed in the 3rd century B.C. either. No, it went into ruin gradually over the years. These prophecies have never taken place. Go to Jeremiah. He uttered his prophecies some 150 years after the time of Isaiah. And here's what he says. In two long chapters in Jeremiah, right at the end of Jeremiah's prophecies, here's what he says concerning Babylon and the land of the Chaldeans, or as we call it today, Iraq, named after that sister city of Babel, Erech, back there in the time of Nimrod. Here's what it says in chapter 50 of Jeremiah. And the word of the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldees by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare you among the nations, publish and set up a standard. Publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken. Then it goes on to say in verse 3, for out of the north there shall come a nation against her, which shall make her a land desolate, and none shall dwell in therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. Now this nation from the north is described a little bit later on, right here in this long prophecy here, as being the nation of the Medes, who will be head of a coalition of various peoples to destroy this Babylon, which is going to exist in the day of the Lord. the Babylon that's going to be there in our day today. The Babylon that Daniel chapter 7 says will come back and exist along with Persia and along with Macedonia, Greece, or Javan, at the end of the age. Their dominion will be taken away back there, but they themselves are going to remain around and come back up in power and authority just in the generation prior to the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. Out of the north there shall come forth a nation, it says in verse 3, against her, which shall make her land desolate. And she is going to be perpetually desolate from that time forward and throughout the time of the millennium. Babylon is going to remain desolate along with the nation of Edom, which is going to be southeast of the city of Jerusalem, while all the other nations of the world in the millennium are going to be beautiful and wonderful and full of joy and happiness, and even the deserts of Israel are going to blossom and all of that. A few areas of the earth are going to remain in perpetual desolation, just a few of them, to remind the people throughout the millennium of the great sins that these nations did. And here we find God actually in Jeremiah and also in Isaiah describing what's going to happen here. And this is for the future, because these prophecies have never yet happened in history. Look at that verse 4. It says, and no person shall dwell there, either man or beast. Why, people have dwelt in Babylon from the time that this prophecy was made. It was a great city in the time of Jeremiah. It was a great city in the time of Cyrus, king of Persia. It was a great city in the time of Alexander the Great. Babylon was considered by Alexander to be the capital city of his world empire, and he wanted to retain it. It was only in the generation after Alexander that it was decided to build a new Babylon up on the river Tigris, about 50 miles north. And they built it up there, and they called it Babylon on the Tigris. And you know, though, one of the local names of the area was Baghdad. And what we find now is that the name of this new Babylon on the Tigris was actually Baghdad, and that's what we find there today. But later on, we find that the Seleucid Empire, which developed from the Alexandrian one, decided to move the capital from that region on the Tigris over to an area on the Mediterranean coast near the region where the Orontes River went into the Mediterranean. And it was Antiochus who built it there, Antiochus the Great, and he called it Antioch. But another name for it was Babylon on the Orontes. They wanted to retain the area of Babylon, or the name Babylon, but you see, these cities then became known as other names, like Baghdad and Antioch and things like that. Antioch, by the way, was where the Christians were first called Christians, where Paul did a lot of work. The first name of that was Babylon. Babylon on the Orontes, though. Not Babylon on the Euphrates, which was going down at that time, and it continued to go down in prestige and power. But people continued to live in Babylon. The Arabian was pitching his tent there, and to this very day, even in the time of B.W. Newton, you remember the man I told you about that wrote in the last century, the Englishman, who was saying these prophecies have never been fulfilled, and they're going to be? He said, well, you can go to the Babylon right now and look at it, and you will find Arabians living in the area and pitching their tents there. And I saw them with my own eyes, and I have pictures of them. And you know, even the Iraqi army that was there were living in tents. So you see, the prophecies that are being talked of here are not the prophecies that have been fulfilled. These are for the end of the age, just exactly as Daniel said would take place. And the Shishak, who is the mystery Babylon that's going to be destroyed at the end of the age, is not this Babylon way back there in the time of Isaiah and Jeremiah. It's the future Babylon that's going to be raised up at the end of the age. It's a future Nebuchadnezzar that is going to come along, who's going to be the king of Babylon. And he's actually going to be an Assyrian, who is a sister race of the Babylonians. And he is going to head this coalition of Babylonian powers. It's going to be destroyed, however, by the Medes. Going on in this chapter 50 of Jeremiah, it says in verse 13 that the wrath of the Lord is going to be on this Babylon of the future to such an extent it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate from then on. That never happened to the Babylon of history, but it's going to happen to the one that we are going to see come up in a few years from now. It says in verse 15 that the walls are going to be thrown down where you cannot even find them of this future Babylon. But I can take you over there right now if we could get to the city, and maybe after this war is over, 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years, people will be able to go back to see Babylon. And you know, it's being raised up right now by the new Nebuchadnezzar, Saddam Hussein. If he lasts any longer, he may continue to do it. If not, someone else is going to do it. Because we find this Babylon is going to come back in power and authority. And you can still see many of the walls of the city of Babylon still over there. And it goes on to verse 23 to say, Babylon will become a desolation. But it's not a desolation at this time. It goes on to say in verse 38, Babylon shall be a drought upon her waters, and it shall be dried up. Babylon is a desert area, that's quite true, but it's right on the Euphrates River, and you know there's plenty of water underneath the city of Babylon. One of the reasons why they had difficulty in preserving some of the clay tablets is because the water table is so high there that it's caused the tablets actually to fuse together into a type of a mud. Oh, it hasn't become a drought area. It's still quite pleasant, as I said. Go on to verse 39. Therefore the wild beasts of the desert with the wild beasts of the island shall dwell there, and the owls shall dwell therein. This is the type of evil animals that God is talking about. It shall be no more inhabited forever, or for olam, for the age. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Now that's the destruction of this future Babylon that's going to be raised up. But right now it's being dwelt in. You can go there right now, and it's certainly being dwelt in. And it goes on to say, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell there. Behold, a people shall come forth from the north, that's the Medes, and a great nation, and many kings shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And they're going to be cruel, they're not going to show mercy, and they're going to come against this future Babylon. Going on, chapter 51, it says in verse 2 that these kings of the north, these Medes, will empty the land of Babylon of people and of beasts. That's what it says. It says in verse 8, Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. This never happened in ancient history. It says in verse 11, make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes and his devices against Babylon to destroy it. And you know, this is the future Babylon. Going on in verse 26, and they shall not take of you or thee a stone of a corner, this Babylon, nor a stone for foundations, but you shall be desolate forever. It means for olam, saith Yahweh, speaking of Babylon. You're not going to take a stone of this Babylon, of the future, when it's destroyed, to reuse it in the building of anything else. But let me tell you this. Even when B.W. Newton was here, or on Earth, 130, 40 years ago, and wrote his work about a future Babylon coming up, he said the Babylon over there on the Euphrates, the old Babylon of the old Nebuchadnezzar, is not the one being talked of, because it wasn't destroyed in this fashion by the Medes. And besides, he says, down at Hillah, which is 15 miles to the south, he was able himself at that time to go down there, and he said, do you know, most of the city of Hillel is built from stones that came from the ruins of Babylon? And that is a fact. Now, that was 130 years ago. But I have guidebooks. I did not get to Hillel myself when I was there, but I got guidebooks right up to date, which were saying that even to this very time, that was 20 years ago when I was there, they were still getting bricks from Babylon and building a part of their homes and things like that in Hillel, a city of about 100,000 people down there, about 15 miles from ancient Babylon. They were taking the stones from Babylon and building up the city of Hillel. But this Babylon that's being talked of here, in verse 26, it says, it's going to be destroyed at such an extent that they shall not take of you a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but you shall be, this Babylon, desolate for olam, for the age, saith the Lord. And it mentions the nations here that are going to do the destructions. They are the kingdoms of Ararat, Mene, Ashkenaz, and with the kings of the Medes. In verse 29, Babylon will become a desolation, without and inhabitant. In verse 36, I will dry up her seed and make her sea and make her springs dry. Verse 37, Babylon is going to be a place for dragons, for an astonishment, for a hissing, without an inhabitant. No one is going to dwell in the future Babylon. It's going to be such utterly destroyed that for a 1,000-year period throughout the entire millennium, no animal or beast will be there. No Arabian will pitch his tent there. It's going to be so destroyed that not even the bricks will be used to build other cities and houses and towns around. That's what it says. These prophecies here have never been fulfilled. Verse 43, her cities, the Babylon around, and the cities associated with her, are a desolation, a dry land, a wilderness land, wherein no man dwells, neither does any son of man pass thereby. And he says to go on here, spoilers shall come out of the north, which shall turn this Babylon into utter destruction, and that the land of the Chaldeans will be utterly broken. Verse 58, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, her high gates shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain, that is, to try to put out the fire, and the folk in the fire, they shall be weary. And it goes on to say that these are the words of Jeremiah the prophet, which will come to pass. This is the time, as Jeremiah said in what we call Jeremiah 25, when Shishak, Mystery Babylon, shall be destroyed. It wasn't to occur 70 years after the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in the 6th century B.C. It didn't happen that way then. It wasn't to take place in the time of Daniel, when he was reading the prophecies of Jeremiah, and he saw the 70 years down there, and he says, well, I guess it's about time for Babylon to be destroyed. But the angel Gabriel came to him and said, oh no, there's a different way of interpreting this. He did not say, God did not say precisely at the end of the 70 years. Gabriel says there is a 490-year period, 70 weeks of years left before that will take place. But even that is divided into four divisions. The first division is 7 weeks of 49 years. The next division is 62 weeks of 434 years. And that leads up to Messiah the Prince. But there's 1 week coming at the end of 7 years, which is divided into two sections. 3.5 years on one side, 3.5 years on the other. And these 3.5 year periods will be dominated by 10 kings. Or as it is in the original vision of Nebuchadnezzar, the 10 toes at the end of this Babylonian image. And Babylon was to come back along with Persia and along with Greece and be a part of this image along with the iron and the iron mixed with miry clay, which would be this image to be destroyed at the end of the age. This Babylonian image with the mind of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, going back there to the 6th century B.C. This was the type of age that would be dominated by Babylon. That's true. It's an age in which Jesus Christ would come. The gospel would be given to the world. It's the age which you and I are in right now. But we're coming closely to the end every day. And what is happening over there in the Persian Gulf at the present time, in Kuwait and in Iraq and in the Babylon that we are talking about here, that area, it's a prelude, no doubt, of the setting up of this new Babylon that is described here that is going to be destroyed by the Medes and other nations coming out of the north. These prophecies in Isaiah 13, Isaiah 14, Isaiah 47, all of the chapters of Habakkuk, as well as Jeremiah 50 and 51, and some of the prophecies of the book of Daniel, as well as Revelation, which speak about Babylon and all of that in connection with the world, final world kingdom, which will emanate from Mystery Babylon. All of these things are to be brought to an end with the second advent of Christ. What we need to do is to keep our minds on what is happening in the Middle East. No matter what occurs with Saddam Hussein at the present time, or how much Iraq is decimated of its power and authority, it is destined to come back with a new power. It will be in existence at the second coming of Christ. We need to keep our eyes on that area. And remember, just as Japan and Germany came back very quickly, so we can find the same thing happening in the Middle East. The future prophetic history of Iraq is interesting. We find it in the Scripture. Let's keep our minds on what the Bible says.